Just going to have to share my heart with you this morning. Somebody asked me yesterday if I was ready for the service this morning, and I said no, and they just looked at me. I said, well, I have four messages, and I just don't know which one. You know, I made a joke with them yesterday after the singing. We sang a little over 2 hours. I said, you know, the preacher gets as much time as the singers do. They kind of looked at me. I could see it in their eyes. We want ice cream. I said, I'm not going to preach. But I have went to revivals to preach where they start at 7:30 and they let the preacher up at 9. I'm in rough shape by 9 o'clock. We're not trying to be long, but here's the point. We want what God wants, okay? I heard a preacher one time, one of those write-it-down statements that just pierced into my heart. He was preaching a revival down at a church my dad pastored, and he said, I don't pick them. I just preach them as God sends them. And folks, the things going on in the world today have got my heart heavy. You know, I talked to Brother Allen quite a bit, and Brother Allen, I want you to know, his heart is also heavy. And if I talk to the deacons, a lot of times I get the same thing. Their heart is heavy. The title this morning that we want to preach on is Recognizing the Time. And I want to flip over to the book of Esther, and I just want to pull out a couple of key verses. Now, I don't have time to walk you through the history of the entire book of Esther. Maybe you get a chance, you can read it. But just a key fact about the book of Esther is the only book in the Bible that does not mention the name of God. It's during a time that the people of God were under great suppression. And there's a lady who the book is written after, Esther, and there's a verse or two that I want to read to you where Mordecai speaks to her, and he speaks some profound words. Listen to these words in Esther chapter number 4 and verse number 13. It says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not within thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? As I begin to think about that, and I thought about that verse and what it means, well, you know, it was very applicable if you study history, because what Esther did when she went before the king is she risked her own life for the sake of her people. And what Mordecai was saying to her is, who knows, but God may have brought you to this time and allowed you to be here in this time and to be in this place for such a time as this, for this time. Sometimes when I look at what's going on in the world today, and I question, and I wonder why. I wonder why a lot of times, and I want to share just some of my thoughts with you, but I wonder why, God. Sometimes I even say, God, why me? Why am I a pastor in these times? Why wasn't my dad a pastor in these times? Because I really think very highly of my dad. Do you ever think about the people that we have seen go out and be with the Lord and how faithful they are and wonder why they're not here in these times? I wonder why, God, are we here in these times? And Mordecai warns Esther. He said, don't think that you're going to escape more than all the other Jews. You know, sometimes I get kind of like an ostrich. And all the things going on, what I want to run and do is find a hole in the sand to stick my head in. Have you ever seen the drawings of an ostrich when it goes and sticks its head into the sand and it thinks, because it doesn't see what's going on around it, that it's safe, when the reality of it is it's not safe at all? Have you ever thought that maybe God brought us, you and I, and our church here for such a time as this? For this time. You know, the reality of it is, I'm troubled about the times, and I think a lot of you may be as well. You know, the past couple of years, dealing with COVID, and, you know, I didn't like it. I struggled with it. I didn't like shutting the church down. I didn't like having services that were only Facebook. I didn't like seeing people go away from church, and the reality of it is some of them haven't returned at all. And it's not just Hiram First Baptist Church. The reality is our church has weathered the storm much better than many churches. There are churches that over the past couple of years have had to close. They've had to close because their financial situation forced them into a predicament that they could not remain open. There are churches that have had to close because they could not retain enough members to have service. Now, as I look around this morning, and I mean this with everything that's in me, all that I want to see in this church to make me happy is you. That's what I want. And I believe that's what God wants. But do you know that there are some that could not get through these past couple of years? And it was troubling. And Brother Larry Hart and I have had some conversation about a couple of verses. And not long ago, Brother Larry taught a lesson here on Sunday night about a verse in the Old Testament where it talks about if you've run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how will you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace and safety wherein thou dwellest, how shall you contend with the swelling of the Jordan? You see, the reality of it is, over the past couple of years, it's been very stressful. Amen. Been very troubling. Amen. More so than any time in my life. And we get through it, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, and I'm troubled, and then there's something else. You know, we think we're through the pandemic, and we're starting to see things begin to move, but inflation is at double digits. You get excited because the value of your house is going up. Have you tried to buy one? We go to the gas pumps and diesel is over $5 a gallon. You go to Home Depot and that deck that you want to build that should cost you $1,000 costs $3,000. You go to the grocery store and the first time in some of our lifetimes in America, we see empty shelves. There's no chicken, there's no ground beef. Maybe there's other things you want that are not there. You know, the reality of it is God has been so good to America for so long and so many blessings that many of us have never seen it. You know, and for me as an individual, I'm just going to have to be honest with you. I don't like buying the gas. Difference of me and Brother Tommy is I drive almost 100 miles a day to work and back, and he goes to the golf course. So I'm driving to work. I don't like buying the gas. I'm just going to talk from a selfish perspective for just a minute. I look at that stock market all the time because that's all I've got. And some, you know, the reality is I know some people don't have that, but I watch it, and I get upset because it's falling. And you know what I find myself doing? I find myself complaining about gas prices. I complain about the stock market. I complain about grocery prices. I complain about everything that's going on. I complain about the government that we have here and the leadership that we don't have. I complain about what's going on in the world. And then I turn on the news channel. And I hear a story last week. There was an American man in Ukraine that was killed. He wasn't in a battle fighting, and he didn't have on a uniform, but he was standing in a line to get bread. And he was killed by a sniper. And sometimes the biggest problem that we have after church is we get aggravated because we have to wait more than an hour to be able to get a table. I watched a special last night. They had a man and two little girls. He was in Ukraine, and he was telling the story of how he was in the kitchen with his wife, and they were cooking dinner for the family. And he said he could hear or see, whatever it was, an attack, a rocket coming in. And he said he dove, but his wife didn't get out of the way. And he said, when the shelling started, he had to leave. He said, I left my wife on the kitchen floor, and I don't even know what happened to her body. And he showed a picture of her and a beautiful lady, and he had two little kids that were crying. I want to tell you something. When I begin to look at the things going on in the world today, I begin then to be ashamed that I've complained. I'm ashamed that when I was asked to run with a footman, I complained about it. I'm ashamed that when God asked me to stand strong and to do something, I begin to look at myself. Because if we read and understand God's word, in Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 6, it says this, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. You know what I want? What I want is COVID to go away completely. Nope, never hear about it again. Never see another mask in my life. I want the gas prices to go back to, I'll take $1.89. I want the stock market to go up 5% a day. I want there to be peace in the world. Because if these people just realized they could get more by helping one another. I want war to go away. I don't want to have to think about the possibility of losing someone that I love because of some foolish, selfish, evil dictator. But I'll be honest with you, church, I don't think I'm going to get what I want. What I really believe is until Jesus comes, we're going to get what's written in the Word of God, where it talks about wars, pestilences in diverse places. And what's important for you and I as Christians is we need to be in the place that God has us to be, doing what God wants us to do in preparation for the return of Christ. I want to flip over to Ephesians chapter number 5 and read just a couple of verses. I want to start in the 14th verse. And again, I don't have time to cover this whole chapter, which is, if you read the first verse, this verse we're going to read in the 14th verse, the first word is wherefore. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly or cautiously, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I want to give you just a little bit about that wherefore to let you know why it's there. If you go back and you read through this chapter and you look at this fifth chapter, it talks about the way of the believer. And here's what he's saying, understanding these things. And here's what I want you to see this morning in this message is understanding these things. Understanding all that's going on in the world today, understanding where we're at as a nation, understanding where we're at as a people of God, understanding where we're at as Americans, as Christians. The Scripture said we ought to redeem the time. What does that mean? That means that you ought to make the absolute most of the time that you have. You see, the reality of it is, compared to eternity, our life, all of our lives on this earth is short. And we don't know how much time we're going to have until the Lord comes and says, things are done on earth for my people. When God reaches down and he says, children, come forth, or he calls forth the church, and the church of God goes to be with the Lord. You know, if I look at what's going on and I see what's going on, I don't like it. You know what I want to do? It's like this. Y'all know what it means to kick the can? We just kick it on down the road. I want to tell you something, church. The can's going to be kicked for the last time. And we're going to be there. Are we going to be at the times that line right up exactly with what the Word of God says? And it's going to be somebody like you and me that are preparing to see the day of the return of Christ. You see, I believe we're getting very, very close. So what time is it? I want to flip over to Mark chapter number 13. And I want to begin reading just a couple of verses. I want to read the 28th and the 29th verse. It says, now learn a parable. And this is Jesus in the red writing. It says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. For ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Now in this scripture, in the 13th chapter, beginning in the 24th down through the 37th verse, Jesus is speaking about the coming of the Son of Man. And he talked about the fig tree, and he said, you can tell, have you noticed that it's springtime? Have you noticed that the buds are coming out? A couple of weeks ago, it was a bright day like we've had today, and we got up and went out in the front yard, and we looked over. We've got a Bradford pear, and it just had little buds on it. But by the end of that day, with the sun shining on that tree was white. You know, things are beginning to happen faster and faster and faster, and we're beginning to see it. So understanding it and understanding, recognizing the time, I want to give you just a few points. What time is it? Number one, here's what time it is. Folks, it's time to watch. It's time to watch. It's time to pay attention. In Mark chapter number 13, verse number 35, it says this. It says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I believe that every Christian needs to be aware of the times that we're living in, and we need to be watchful because the signs are pointing to the return of Christ. Now you can watch the events, you can watch the world events, you can watch the events that have to do with health and sickness. You can watch the events that have to do with pestilence. You can watch the events that have to do with the world order and with war, but we need to be watching the events. If there was nothing else, we could watch the events in America, how that the progressivism in this nation is pulling farther and farther away from God, to where that even people that claim to be Christians and pastors do not stand the place that they used to stand oftentimes. I believe it's also time to pray. You know, we say we're going to pray for America. We need to pray for America. Does God answer prayer? Absolutely, God answers prayer. I believe that God hears us. I believe that God sees us. And I still believe this, that it is because of the prayers of Christians that America is as blessed as it is today. I watched a documentary recently, and it was talking about the military power of the United States. And as I watched it and I looked at it, it was amazing, the technology and the change. But I want to tell you what my biggest fear is. It's not that we wouldn't have the technology. It's not that we wouldn't have the equipment. It's that we would not have the favor of God. It means far more than anything that we can do or accomplish for ourselves. Far more than any military spending, far more than any tactics, is that God in Himself and His hand be on America. That's why, church, it is important that the people of God continue to pray and continue to ask God for protection of our nation. It's important to pray for our leaders. Right now, when I begin to think about it and I go through the leadership board and I look at all the people that are there, all the people that are available, and I say, God, what happened? When's the last time that we had a leader that we could look to and say, we respect them, we believe in them, and we believe that they have the character that's required? You know, it's easy for me and you to complain and do that, but when's the last time we got on our face before God and asked God to help them? Ask God to give them wisdom. Ask God to give them some conviction. Folks, we're in that time today. We need to pray for our nation. And folks, we need to pray for our church. You know, there's a lot going on outside that door. It doesn't need to be going on in here. Something that we need in the church, we need unity. We need people to be able to come together and worship God and it not be about them. You know why people have trouble in church? Because they make it about them rather than it being about God. That's why they can't get satisfied. That's why nothing ever makes them happy, because they're not looking at things the way that they should. We need unity in the house of God. We need vision. Sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you, sometimes the vision that God gives me, it's heavy. That's where we're at today. And you look around you at the world and you see the world seems to be prospering. It's going this and it's doing that. And you think, why doesn't anything ever happen to them? I want to tell you, folks, this is not the end. The vision that Paul had, the vision that Peter had when they preached the Word of God, the vision that Paul had caused him to be thrown into prison. And eventually, according to history, it caused Paul to be beheaded. But looking at eternity, what did Paul do? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. No telling how many people have been saved were when he was on the earth, but even after that, because of the gospel that he taught and preached. Sometimes I think we get to the point that we think the worst thing that could happen to me is I'll lose this or I'll lose that or I'll lose my life. The worst thing that could happen to you is that you live your life on this earth and your life never honors God. So we pray for our church, for unity, for vision. And church, we need to pray for faith. Sometimes I begin to question, and I've even had this conversation with God. I say, God, I believe in you. Help me to even understand what kind of faith I'm supposed to have, even so I will know how to pray, so I will know how to follow. Did Paul have faith? But he was beheaded. Did Peter have faith? But he was crucified upside down. Did Elijah have faith? But he was sawn asunder. For you and I, faith is understanding that this is not all there is, that eternity is waiting on us, and whatever God's word said would come to pass is going to come to pass. And here's, just like Mordecai told Esther, it's going to come to pass because he is God, not because of you, but your privilege just to be a part of it.
Amen.
Pray for wisdom. I want wisdom. It's like this, God, how do I make the right decisions? And pray for strength, for endurance, so that we won't get weary in the battle and quit. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season. You shall reap if you faint not. Another thing, what time is it? It's time to be serving God. Serving God is worship. And we worship on Sunday morning, but if you have a right relationship with God, you really worship every day. You worship Him when you pray. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. How do I do that? Every event of your life should be started off by seeking and asking for the will of God. Every decision, everything that you do, for the will of God. Time to be serving God. Church. It's time to be in church. America today is filled with people who say that they're saved by the grace of God, but they're no longer going to church anywhere. They're saved. I believe there's a lot of them. And I really believe just in a 5-mile radius, just draw a circle with a compass around this church. If you could get every person that has been saved and for some reason, whether it be distracted or whether it be somebody's hurt their feelings or something, here's sometimes the way the devil works, they could have made a mistake and they can't get over it. But they're not serving God. In a 5-mile radius of this church, if we could just get those people that are that close, we'd have to have a building that would go to the end of this field. Church, it's time to go to church, because going to church matters. It matters to your family. It matters to your children. It matters to your life. And it's time to serve. If you're in the house of God doing anything, you're doing it as a servant. It's time to serve. I really appreciate the servants that are in this church again. I do. It's so important. And I want you to know that I consider myself a servant. Here's another one that came to my heart. You know, in Matthew chapter number 24, where Jesus began to tell them about the things that would happen at the end of time and the before His coming, in the 12th verse you read down, it says this, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." You know, folks, I believe it's time to love one another. How would you like to have a verse that said, "Because a love shall abound, the iniquity of many shall wax cold"? I like that better. You see, just because the world is going astray does not mean that the church and God's people have to go astray. Well, how do you really love? Sometimes you got to be forgiving. If we just realize that there are no perfect people and forgive one another. A lot of times the reason people get out of church is because, just like you and me, they make a mess. And when they make a mess, they don't know how to deal with it and they can't come back. Do you realize we've all made a mess? We got to be forgiving. Here's something else. We got to be patient. Now, I don't say pray for patience. Told my wife, she loves to fly and she wants to sit by the window. I got my profile at work set up that if I fly at all, I have to have an aisle seat or I don't go. I hate it. My fear is I'll be on a plane and there'll be a guy beside me praying for patience. You know, the Bible teaches us that patience comes through tribulation. Folks, we've had tribulation. And according to what I read in the Word of God, there's more tribulation to come, because what we're seeing now is not going to change till Jesus comes. What we need to do is find out how to be everything that God wants us to be right in the middle of it. And to recognize it. And how about this? Be reverent. What does that mean? I've known preachers that get upset if you don't call them reverend or doctor or whatever. I believe the greatest thing you can be called in church is brother. Now, I can get into a whole bunch of scripture about that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how you address me or what you call me. Just call me when it's time to eat. Amen. What does it mean, be reverent? It means be respectful of each other. Sometimes people get to thinking they're better than somebody else. You're just not. And when you think that you are, you put yourself in a position that your ministry has reached its limit. So love one another. And just a couple of more. So what time is it? If Jesus is coming soon, I believe it's time to bring in the lost. That's why this wild game banquet's important. That's why this spring fling that we're going to have is important. That's why the events of this church that you do such a good job of supporting are important, because it gives the church an opportunity to minister to someone that may not come on Sunday morning. In John chapter 4 and verse number 35, it says, "Say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You know, I want you to think about something. And I know there are ministries in this church that are seeing people saved. And, you know, I'm thankful that we have seen people saved lately. But, you know, there are some churches right now that are still in existence that cannot tell you the last time they've seen somebody get saved. They can't tell you the last time that they had somebody get baptized. But here's what it boils down to, church. If we're going to get them in, now's the time. Now is the time. And we need to be reaching out, and we need to be inviting, and we need to be encouraging. And here's the kind of environment we need to have. When people come into the house of God, they need to see people that care about one another and people that care about them where they're at, so that they will want to be a part of what they see. Some people are so aggressive and so untactful in their style that when they reach out to somebody, they're not presenting anything that anybody would want. We got to have something that we demonstrate in our lives that people want. But church, it's time. And I want to give you the last thought. If you're here this morning and you are not saved and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, it's time to get saved. And I'll tell you why it's time. Because there are so many signs that are pointing to the fact that time is running out. Why is it important to recognize the time? Because it's like an hourglass. The closer the sand gets to running out, the faster it moves and the faster it goes. In the book of Daniel, it talks about in the last days, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. I can remember a few years ago, and I was preaching, and I would say that knowledge doubles every 7 years. You remember those sayings? Then it was knowledge doubles every 3 years. Now, you can't even learn all the buttons on your new cell phone. Till there's another one. The technology, the movement, all the things written in the Word of God. And I want to tell y'all, this wasn't written this year. Wasn't written in the last 100 years. But the Bible says it was written when holy men of old were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And God gave the prophets vision of what's called mountain peaks of prophecy. And they would write about things that God let them see that they did not even understand what they were looking at, but they tried to describe it. Can you imagine a prophet trying to write down the vision of end times with airplanes and helicopters and the technology that we have today? He didn't know what he was writing about, but he wrote about it. They wrote that the gospel would be first preached and published in all nations before there was ever any understanding about a printing press, before the internet ever existed. Jesus said there'll be wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, and he didn't come in 1985 and just see what's going on and write it down. The reason you need to get saved this morning, if you don't know Jesus, is because now it's time. Because God has spoke to your heart, and because time is running out. I want to say this, and then we're going to give an invitation. I know people that are supposed to be serving God. What do you mean? Well, God's put a call of service on their life, but they're not serving Him. You know, sometimes what we do, we think, well, I'll do it later. I'll do it next year. I'll do it next week. Sometimes that's the way people think about ministry. Sometimes it's the way people think about serving God. Sometimes it's the way people think about accepting Christ. I'll do it later. When I watched some of the things that I watched this past week about what's going on in Ukraine, heard one man say, I had no idea when I left my home on this day what I would be faced with the next. What he said was, my time ran out. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand to your feet. I know this is a little bit heavy, but folks, I'll tell you what I believe God wants us to do. Is he wants us to understand where we're at, and he wants us to have a vision. But I believe God wants us to do something about it. One thing I do know is that God loves you, and God's plan and purpose is going to be fulfilled. There is a verse that says, yet if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. God was going to fulfill his plan, whether Esther did what Esther was supposed to do or not, and God's word is going to be fulfilled. But I want you to understand something this morning. I believe you are the most privileged people on earth to, on a beautiful Sunday morning, be able to be standing in the house of God with your family and somebody that you love. As they play this song, if God spoke to your heart, if you'd like to pray, would you please come?